Good to see all of you. We have a great crowd. Thank you much for coming to be with us. To the men here, thank you for the invitation that has brought me here. I want you to work hard in getting people to come, and I'll work hard in preaching the Word of God. When I married Kay, I asked her, "Are you in good health?" And she said, "As far as I know, I am." So the other day, I said, "Kay, since we've been married, you've been in the hospital 2 times. Can you explain that, please?" She said, "Have you ever stopped to think that maybe you make me sick?" So that may be the case, but I'm going to work hard not to make you sick. I'll be honest with you. Some preachers make me sick because they will not preach the Word of God. They preach everything but the Word of God. I'll make you a promise. We'll be preaching the Word of God. So you bring your friends, your loved ones to our tent meeting, and you'll enjoy, I think, the lessons preached if you love the Word of God. We're going to be looking at the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, please, the Bible says in Acts 8:26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." I want you to pay close attention to the fact the angel did not speak to the one that was going to be converted, but rather to the preacher. Not that that matters, because in the case of Cornelius, an angel spoke to him. Well, what's the point? The point is, we got people today who declare, "I saw an angel, therefore I know I'm saved." You don't find that in the Word of God. Look at what the Bible says concerning Cornelius. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." Now, I was studying with a man, and one day he called me and said, "You don't need to come back anymore." And I said, "Well, why?" He said, "I was driving down the road the other day thinking about the Bible studies that we had had and the fact I was seeking salvation, seeking God, and all of a sudden, right in front of a car, my car, was an angel. I knew then I was saved." You don't find that in the Word of God, friends. "And you shall see an angel, and the angel shall make you free." That's not in your Bible. It's not in mine either. Saul of Tarsus saw Jesus Christ, but that didn't prove he was saved. You and I have got to be set free by truth, knowing truth and obeying that truth. Now, here we have the instruction from the angel to Philip saying, "Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Why? I know that would have bothered me if I'd have been the preacher. You know why? There he was, Philip in Samaria, having tremendous success. He had converted men and women and even the old false teacher. And right in the middle of all that success, an angel says, "You need to leave." Need to leave? Look at all the good we're doing. Now watch what the Bible says in Acts 8:12 and 13, speaking of the success that Philip had had at Samaria. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself," that's the false teacher, "believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, one and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs that were done." So you see, right in the middle of all that success, he's asked to leave. Well, why? Number one, to show the value of just one soul. Who knows? But this gospel meeting might have been scheduled because of you. God wanted to give you one more opportunity to do that which is right. Or because of somebody else that lives in this area. We don't know what the wonderful providence of God is doing. Now notice, in Mark 8:36-37, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at the value of a soul. Philip, I want you to leave Samaria. I got a job for you. Why? Because a man was seeking truth. Now, I believe with all my heart what the Bible says, and that is to show that God will help one find the truth. If you are a true seeker, I believe with all my heart God will help you find it. The Bible says in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If you really want to know the will of God, God will help you. When I was doing electrical work, I worked for an electrician that did the sorriest electrical work I ever seen in my life. I was just an apprentice. And I would tell him on the way back to the shop, that's the sorriest work I ever seen in my life. And he said, well, we got to make the company money. I said, sure we do. But we owe something to the customer. We got to give them quality work. And we're not doing that. We're robbing them. So we went and wired a place. And it was a fire hazard when we left because of this man's trying to make the company money. I preached to him all the way back to the shop. And I'd made up my mind. I was going to quit. If they didn't put me with another electrician, I was not going to do that kind of work. So I went in and told him, I said, if Bill's the only man you got for me to work with, I quit. And so in comes a journeyman electrician, and he says, if that apprentice I've got is the only apprentice you've got, then I quit. You know what they did? They put the two grippers together, me and that guy. Greatest blessing in my life. He is an earned member of the church, and he taught me the Word of God. I carried a New Testament to work every day with me. I was in denominational era. I needed help. I'm convinced God knew I needed help, and providentially it worked out that he taught me the truth. And I became a child of God. So who knows what God's doing? Now, we have denominational people that believe in sprinkling and pouring. And so they're going to point out to you and me, and often do, that Philip and the eunuch were in a desert place. And therefore, the only water he would have had, the eunuch, would have been the water he was carrying with him as he traveled. Maybe a jug of water? Oh, I'd have loved to have seen that jug, wouldn't you? Because later it says they both went down into it. That's a pretty big jug. But now, notice, in Acts 8:26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. That simply means an uninhabited place. Because in Mark 6:32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Well, it takes quite a bit of water to float a ship. And I believe if it can float a ship, I can baptize somebody there. And you could too. Now in verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Oh, we're talking about a good man. A man that had traveled 1,000 miles one way to worship God the best he knew how. A man that was a treasurer, no doubt honest. The queen could trust him. Now, he traveled 1,000 miles one way to worship God, and we can't get some members in an air-conditioned car, heated car, to drive a mile sometimes to make it to services. You're going to stand next to the eunuch. I'm going to stand next to the eunuch come judgment day. Look at his dedication. What about ours? See, we need to be a dedicated group of people. Now, notice verse 28 says, and was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Esaias the prophet. You know, if I come to a Bible study like this, a worship service, I want a Bible. And I want to check out the speaker. I have known of members of the church that did not carry a Bible to worship at all. What are you going to do? Just take the preacher's word? You can't do that. Your soul's too valuable. Check us out. We need to see what the Word of God says. Now notice, what would have happened if he had died at this point? Here he's a Bible reader. Here's a man that was honest, traveled 1,000 miles one way to worship God. Let's put a casket right here in front of this pulpit. The eunuch, let's say, died. Do you know most preachers would go ahead and preach him right into heaven? As a matter of fact, if you'll go to a funeral service, everybody's going to heaven. You listen to what's said about the person that dies. But you know, the Bible says in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, the majority of people are going to hell. But everybody wants everybody else to go to heaven. Well, great, that's wonderful. But you got to do it God's way. We want everybody to go to heaven. But we got to obey God. So the eunuch needed help. And God knew that he needed help. Now notice, if you will, in Acts 8, 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now notice here, the Holy Spirit does speak to the preacher and not to the one that's going to be converted. Not that that necessarily matters either. Because Jesus spoke to the one that was going to be converted, Saul, but he told him, go to Damascus to the street called Straight to the house of Judas, and there to be told thee what thou must do. I want you to notice, you will not find anywhere in the New Testament where any supreme being ever told anybody what to do to become a child of God. Because the Bible makes the argument that the truth has been committed unto the hands of earthen vessels. You and I are to go into all the world and proclaim the word of God to a lost and dying world. And in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Notice, when the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go join yourself to that chariot, the Bible says he ran. Now, wouldn't it be great if we had members of the church that eager to teach the truth? We've been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How excited are we about that? We need to be urgent, be militant in a loving way in trying to proclaim the word of God. So he ran, according to the Bible. Notice the Holy Spirit did not say, go teach him. But the Holy Spirit had enough confidence in Philip to know, if I get him around a man reading the Word of God, he'll teach him the truth. What about you and me? Has the Godhead got that much confidence in us that if we get around somebody reading the Word of God, we'll teach him the truth? Oh, look for opportunities to teach. I was at Hardy's one day and I saw a fellow reading a book. And I thought, that's a Bible. So I had to get up to throw something away. Not really, but I wanted to walk by him. So as I walked by, I was trying to see what he was doing. And he had a Bible. So coming back, I said, buddy, that's a great book you're reading. He said, it sure is. So I sat down, he is by himself, and got to talking to him about the Bible, trying to tell him about the church. I may never again get that opportunity. Couldn't tell you to this day what his name is. But we need to take advantage of opportunities. Verse 31, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, that makes some people mad. Well, do you think I'd be reading a book I can't understand? You see, what if I was on a plane reading the Bible and somebody walked up to me and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Would that make me mad? Would it make you mad? Oh, it didn't make him mad. He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He needed help from somebody that knew the truth. And so that needs to be our attitude. By the way, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. He's asking for help. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So it's our job to guide people. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Now this is a quote from Isaiah 53 as it's divided in your Bible and mine. Where had he been? I'm convinced I know why he's reading it. Where has he been? Up to Jerusalem. What is the environment like in Jerusalem? I'll read the first part of Acts 8. The whole place is tore up because the disciples are saying, "That man you crucified has come forth from the grave. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world." And just like on the day of Pentecost, they were taking Old Testament prophecies and proving that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. And no doubt they were using Isaiah 53 the same way. I know Jesus used it, John 12. I know that Paul used it. We saw that in our Bible study in Romans 10. And now Philip's going to use it to apply it to Jesus Christ. Now the Jews say that Isaiah 53 applies to the Jewish nation. No, this is somebody that's dying for you and for me. And the eunuch said unto Philip, answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Oh, no wonder God loved this man. No wonder God wanted to send him help. Notice he does not want to misapply the scriptures. "Of whom speaketh the man this, of himself or of some other man?" Now I want you to notice he realized that it applies to an individual. So he didn't want to misuse the word of God. Wouldn't it be great if the religious world held that view on John 3:16? Look how they misuse it. On Romans 10:9 and 10, look how it's misused. The thief on the cross, how that's misused. And we even got brethren that crucify Matthew 19:9, and the religious world really crucifies it. We got brethren now that's saying, basically, you can divorce for any reason, remarry, and when you're baptized or pray this a prayer as a child of God, all that's forgiven. Jesus said, except you put away your mate for the cause of fornication, you commit adultery. You know what that means? What it said. Somebody asked Guy Woods, "What's your view on marriage, divorce, and remarriage?" He read Matthew 19:9. "No, I want to know your view." He read Matthew 19:9 again. "No, I'm talking about what's your view." He said, "It's what the Word of God says. I can't change it." And that's right. We're sorry about that, but we can't change God's Word. If we did, we'd make a mess out of everything. Now notice, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, how do you preach Jesus? You just go down the road and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." That's not preaching Jesus. To preach Jesus Christ, you go back to prophecy, like they did on the day of Pentecost and other places in the New Testament, and show that prophecy spake of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. You tell of his perfect life, the commandments he gave, and the promises that will follow if you obey them, and the condemnation that will befall anybody that walks on the commandments of our Lord. Now that's preaching Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, if all the water they've got is in the jug, which is false, how did they come unto the water? They came up on the water. If baptism is not essential to salvation, why stop the chariot? Why not let the preacher keep preaching and learn all you can about the man Jesus Christ? I want you to notice preaching Jesus Christ involves preaching what Jesus Christ said. Well, what did you say, Lord? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the truth. And we got to believe the truth. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble come judgment day. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, there's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, notice what happens. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And the Bible tells us why he is baptized. Mark 16:16, to be saved. Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins. Galatians 3:27-29, put one into Christ, and to become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. No vote was taken. Well, I don't know if I'm baptized or not. I have to go back and bring your name up before the congregation. We'll vote and see if you'll be accepted. Huh? Not at all. There's one man with a lost man, the saved man preaching to the lost man. The lost man understands the message. See, there's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, he was baptized into Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful, simple plan? Now, some say baptism is not essential. I want to show you Galatians 3:27-29. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Herman went to Memphis School of Preaching. I went to the Memphis School of Preaching. And Roy Hearn told us this, and probably told Herman's class that too. He said, I'm going to read these verses incorrectly, as if though one were not baptized, and I want you to notice the blessings that one would miss. So I'm going to read these verses incorrectly. I'm going to read them as if though one had not been baptized. Now watch it. For as many of you as have not been baptized into Christ have not put on Christ. There is Jew, there is Greek, there is bond, there is free, there is male, there is female, for you're not all one in Christ Jesus, and if you be not Christ, then you're not Abraham's seed, and you're not heirs according to the promise. Look at all the blessings you miss. Listen, folks, until you align yourself with the promise that God made to Abraham, you'll never be saved. Genesis 12:1-3. How am I going to do that? Well, let's read it correctly. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How in the world can anybody deny baptism just from those verses? Well, what did the eunuch do to become a child of God? Well, he heard the word. He invited Philip up. He preached to him. He believed. There's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe. But he didn't believe just anything. He confessed, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he said, there's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And they both went down into the water and he was baptized. Now, did you notice I skipped repentance? You're not going to find the word repentance in the context. But I know he did. You know why? He had been to Jerusalem and worshiped incorrectly. When he learned the truth, he gave it up and obeyed the truth. He became a child of God. Now, let's do a little supposing here for a moment. All right, he leaves Philip and he's on his way back to Ethiopia and he runs into a friend. And the eunuch's soaking wet. There's not a cloud in the sky. And he said, man, how in the world did you get so wet? He said, well, I just became a Christian. A Christian How'd you do that? Now use your imagination a little bit here. They didn't have radios back then. Well, I was returning from Jerusalem. I had my radio on. And a preacher said, if you want to become a child of God, just put your hand on the radio. You know, that's what some preachers have taught. He couldn't say that because that's not what happened. Or I met a preacher, and the preacher saw me reading the Word of God, and I told him, I'm trying to figure out what this means. He said, man, forget that. Get down on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Pray the sinner's prayer. He couldn't tell that story, could he? All right. He met a preacher, and the preacher said, all you got to do is have faith only. Well, he couldn't tell that story. Well, he met a preacher, and he said, man, there's nothing to do. You either been elected from the foundation of the world to be a child of God or not. So put your Bible up and forget it. Don't worry about stuff like that. He couldn't tell that story. Here's all he could say. I was on my way home from Jerusalem, reading the Word of God, when this nice man came up to me and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. You know, he preached unto me from those very verses, Jesus Christ. I understood what it meant. I said, see, there's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I said, look, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And do you know upon that confession of faith, he baptized me into Christ? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it simple? That's as simple as it can be. Well, we got another problem. He's going back to Ethiopia. What church is he going to join? He drives up and down Main Street, and there's 12 on this side of the road, and he's not sure which one to join. There's 8 on this side of the road, and again, he's not sure which one he ought to join. Now, folks, denominationalism didn't exist back then. And the same process that made him a child of God made him a member of the church. Once he heard, believed, repented, confessed, and baptized, he is saved. Look at Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's no such thing as being saved and not being a member of the church in the Christian age. It's impossible. So when one becomes saved, he or she is added to the church. The eunuch had to change religions to be right in the sight of God. People on the day of Pentecost had to change religions to be right in the sight of God. The Samaritans had to change religions to be right. Saul had to change religions. Cornelius had to change. The Corinthians had to change. I had to change. And you might have to change as well. I want you to notice when he rejoiced. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You can't rejoice until you get where you need to be, and you don't get where you need to be until you do what God says do. Here's God's wonderful plan, same one the eunuch obeyed. You got to hear, you got to believe.